From London, we present a thriller for radio by Barclay Mather, The Sand Leopard. Episode 3, The Hijackers.
Straker and his mate Casey have been chartered by Karyanides to take the Peregrine down to the Red Sea to trace a sunken bullion ship. They have two of his men aboard, Pete and Abdul. But once through the Suez Canal, these two overpower Straker and Casey, take charge of the boat, and alter course.
Geth, Geth. Geth, Geth, wake up, Geth.
What?
Geth, Geth.
What's the... Well, yeah. Casey, what's going on here?
I'm trying to tell you, Geth.
Well, come on down here and tell me and get these damn ropes off me.
I wish I could. I'm triced up the same as you. Listen, Geth, I'm at the wheel, see?
Yeah?
Just as it's getting dark. That bilge rat Pete comes up and he's got the chart in his fist.
Yeah.
And he's working something out. I ask him what the hell, and the next thing I know, I've got a gun stuck in my ribs.
What?
He changes course in towards the western shore, and he bumps her speed up to flat out.
What? Well, where was I?
You've been beamed, apparently, by that son of a gun, Abdul.
Oh.
Just as you were taking the shower.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming back of it. Yeah, that's the last thing I can remember. I was just coming out of the shower, and he was behind it.
Well, that was it. I cut up a bit rough, and he slugs me a couple of times. Then we stand inshore, flat out towards the iron Sukna light.
Flat out? 18 knots into shoaling water?
Sure, sure. I tell him all that. He says he knows it all. He's got a master's ticket.
Oh,
and now we've got him through the canal, they don't need us anymore.
Yeah.
Well, we stand on a bit until we raise the light, and Pete says to watch out for another light, and suddenly we see it. A lamp, morsing through the darkness.
Yeah? On the shore?
No, I don't think so. Must have been on another boat.
I couldn't tell
exactly. Next thing I know, like you just said, I thought the deckhead had fallen in on me. I come to up here in this bunk, tied up like a turkey.
Hey, you got any idea of the time?
Nope. Somebody must have dragged a tarpaulin over the skylight.
So, what it all boils down to is we've been hijacked. Jumped. But why?
That's what I've been asking myself up here over since I come round and getting nowhere. One thing I'm certain, that gink Pete's crazy. Nasty crazy. Vicious crazy.
Oh, that's a nice prospect. Two of them up there, running the boat, and one of them's nuts.
There's more than two now.
What?
Somebody's looked in once or twice.
Who?
I couldn't see who in the dark, but I know it wasn't either of them two.
Oh.
I reckon we must have picked somebody up off the other boat.
Which boat?
The one that was signaling.
Oh, yeah.
But while I was arguing with Pete, he said something about his boss.
His boss? Well, yeah, that could mean that Karyanides is with us. He'd have had plenty of time to beat us down to these parts by air.
It certainly wasn't Karyanides who came in here.
No?
I'd have known the lunk's smell. Sweat, garlic, and some sort of cheap scent he uses unsuccessfully. He's coming. Oh, straight along. It's... Perry!
Right, Pete. Put that tray down here. You can go now.
I guess I better stay. You start cutting these two hombres loose, they might try something.
I can look after myself, thank you. Now, there's the light. Yeah, that's better. Now, get up on top and uncover the skylight and open it. This place is like a furnace.
Suit yourself.
I will. Captain Straker, you've got a nasty head wound. I want to renew the dressing. And I expect you to behave when I cut these ropes off you. Is that understood? I know you're not unconscious. I heard you both talking.
You keep away from me.
I want to renew this dressing.
Leave it alone.
All right, then. If you're going to behave like a small boy, I'll attend to this other gentleman. What's your name? Casey, isn't it?
That's right.
All right, Mr. Casey. It'll be a bit awkward up there, so I'm going to cut you loose. But I'd like to make it clear that this boat is held by armed men and an armed woman, if it comes to that. So please don't be foolish enough to start anything. Now, can you strain your arms this way a bit? Yes, that's better. Now, hold still. I don't want to cut you, too. Right. Yes. Whoever tied you is an expert. That's the circulation coming back. A bit painful at first. Now, come on, feet now. Good. Good. You better wait for a second. All right, now. Just swing them over the drop to the deck, will you? Right. Oops, steady. You better sit on this locker. Now, let's have a look. Oh, I must congratulate you on a good tough skull, Mr. Casey. Enormous lump, but nothing serious. Now, let's have a look at the gloomy Straker.
You put a hand on me, you tramp, and you'll pull
you
in a stump.
You what? Hold. You're still hog-tied, Straker. Appropriate term in your case. Keep your head still.
Get out of it, you...
Mr. Casey, I'm afraid this gentleman's language is going to be, well, not quite what I'd like a respectable sailor to listen to, so I'm going to ask you to leave.
It's all the same to you, miss. I'll stay.
Sorry, it's not all the same to me. Please go, Mr. Casey.
I'm staying.
Oh, you look such a nice, sensible sort of man, too. Well. Pete?
Yeah?
Remove Mr. Casey, will you? Put him on the foredeck. The breeze will do him good.
Come on, you bum, up on your feet.
Now, that's enough of that. Look, if there's any thumping around to be done, I'll give the word. Now, please go, Mr. Casey.
All right, you better go, Casey.
Okay, Skip.
I agree with you. This guy looks a nut.
What did you say?
What is it, Pete? Dope?
I can't.
Get out! Go on, get out!
Nobody
Pete, one more outburst like that and I'll have you put in irons.
You'll have him put in irons. That's good. Yeah, that's melodramatic seagoing terms. Well, here's another one. You, and whoever is with you in this, have been guilty of piracy on the high seas, and that's a crime which can still carry hanging under international law.
Oh, Straker, you're scaring these jeans right off me. Now hold still while I cut this rope. Right. Now your feet. Come on, move over. Good. You better lie still. This pillow is filthy. You've let the boat get like a pigsty since I was last on her. Since she was named after me, I take a poor view of it.
I never got around to re-registering her. It cost $5.
Oh, things as tough as that.
No. I just figured you weren't worth the gesture.
Oh, touché. Now, come on, I'm going to stick some plaster over this now. There. That should hold. Now, try standing up. The others want to see you in the saloon.
Well, they can go to hell. And you can go with them.
If you're going to behave like a small child, I'd have to call Pete and Abdul in to carry you. Come on, Straker. Don't be ridiculous.
You go ahead. Go on. Call them.
All right. Abdul? Pete?
Say, John.
Get him into the saloon.
You get your hands
on
you.
Oh, all right.
That's
all
enough.
Right.
But you... You're going to pay for this. Somewhere. Someday.
Straight ahead, Straker. That's better. Thank you, boy.
It's a pleasure.
Right in here. Sit down.
Ah, the captain has surfaced, has he?
You scum.
A captain gets Straker. This is Sergei Oster... Well, just... Call him Sergei for the moment.
Delighted to meet you, Captain. Actually, we have met before. You tipped a table over on me.
That's right.
This other gentleman is Ali Mohammed Ben Yusuf Ben Ibrahim Ben Yaqub.
Salam, Effendi.
Alas, he only speaks Arabic. Well, now, that settles the introductions. You already know Pete and Abdul, and of course, you and the charming Perry are old friends.
Well, I'd put it another way. Last time I saw her was nearly 6 years ago. She was in court in Casablanca, and you were defending her. She should have picked a better lawyer. Seems to me she got 8 years.
Not one of my more outstanding successes.
Well, you should worry. She doesn't appear to be holding it against you. I take it that you are the lady's, you protect her?
Oh, If that's meant to be offensive, Straker, you're wasting your time. My sensibilities have become blunted. Put it down to the skilly and the long hours and the prison laundry.
Yes, she had a shocking time. The poor girl was as thin as a rake when I managed to get her out.
She seems to have got over it.
Ooh, the therapeutic value of champagne and caviar. Sergei spoils me. However, we're not here to discuss me.
Indeed not, my dear. Well, Captain, first of all, let me apologize for this somewhat cavalier manner of boarding your charming little vessel.
Thank you.
I'm really sorry about it. But at the same time, you're to blame a little for it, you know.
I am.
If you had only listened to what I had to say in that cafe in Marseille, it wouldn't have been necessary. One day, perhaps, you may understand what I mean.
Listen, I haven't got the faintest idea of what you're talking about. And I'm not interested. The point is this. You have taken my boat over. Under arms. And your men have made murderous attacks on me and my paid hand. Now, this boat is sailing under legal charter, which puts her under the provisions and protection of the Merchant Shipping Act, since she is also under the Blue Ensign.
Oh, you do sound so funny, you know, when you're being all legal and maritime. Hear that, Sergei? We're sailing under the protection of the provisions of the Merchant Shipping Act and the old Blue Duster. What? Stand by to repel boarders. Up the Navy.
Ah, but we're digressing. Captain Straker, I'll be as brief as I can.
Yes.
I'm afraid we must overlook the legal position of things and just accept the status quo. On board at this moment are yourself, your man Casey, Pete, Abdul, this gentleman Ali, Perry, and myself. Seven of us. We're at present sailing due south down the Red Sea.
We're not, you know. We're pecking and yawing all over the ocean. The starboard engine isn't balancing the port, and the guy at the wheel can't steer.
Oh, that's Abdul. He's not terribly good, is he? Moist to douse, poor dear. I'll go and put Pete on, give him something to do. Then I'm going to get some lunch ready. I see Abdul's been in the galley up to now. He's a good cook, but... Boat mile high. Bye.
Ah, that's better. Perry tends to interrupt. Well, Captain, for the day-to-day running of the ship, I want you to regard yourself as still the skipper.
Oh. Oh, well, that's damn kind of you, isn't it? Now, you look here, mister. I don't do anything on this ship. Nothing. And nor does my paid hand. You're not fooling either of us into condonation.
All right, then. I'm not going to force you into anything. But my only alternative would be to make Pete captain.
What?
If I make him captain, he'll be captain. Have no doubts about that. That could be humiliating for you. Take my advice, Captain Straker. Nothing's really changed. Stay on your bridge, figuratively. Run her as you were doing already.
I'll see you in hell first. I'm under charter to somebody, and I've got to pick that somebody up in Aden.
Then for heaven's sake, run her to Aden, man. I told you nothing's really changed. I can assure you, Mr. Karyanidis and I understand each other. Well?
All right, then. But I'm acting under duress. Armed duress. I'll run the boat on a day-to-day basis. Purely because I regard myself as the only one qualified to do so. Purely to ensure her safety and the safety of the people on board.
Excellent.
And the safety of the people on board means an awful lot to me. Because I'd hate to see the sharks get you before the law does.
I take your point, Captain. All right, then. That's it. You're still in the saddle, if I may be excused an inappropriate metaphor. But there must be no nonsense, Captain. Please remember that there are five of us to you two, and that we are all armed. I've taken the valves out of the radio, and henceforth it will be used only under my direct supervision.
Oh, will it?
We are at present running well west of the normal shipping lanes, but if we do happen to sight any other vessels, there must be no attempt to attract their attention by flag or by lamp or by any other means. Thank you. The ship is yours again. Well, can I offer you a little of your own whiskey?
You cannot.
As you wish. Good morning, Captain.
Who's at the wheel? Oh, it's you, eh?
Yeah, me.
Right. What's your name again? Salvez, isn't it? Okay, Salvez. What course have you got? 180? We'll keep her at that until I take a sight at 12 o'clock. And take that cigarette out of your mouth when you're in the wheelhouse.
So you're number one big man, eh? Well, it don't mean nothing to me, mister.
And that gun you got stuck in your belt don't mean nothing to me either, mister. Sir, when you speak to me in future, you lousy little longshore junkie.
You call me that?
All right. Come on, drop it. Drop the gun, boy. Drop it. You want a broken arm? You're going to get it.
What?
Casey, come on, grab him.
Drop that gun, Staker. Drop it.
I kill him. I kill him.
Shut up, Pete. Casey, grab that wheel.
You don't what call me.
Sergey, Pete's got a knife. Get it, will you?
No, will you?
Good. Now.
You call me
get
junkie.
Out, you stupid little man. Any more trouble from you and you'll go down in the chain locker. Now get out.
Oh, but this bum's going to end up in the drink. Yes, you see.
But what happened?
Straker. I heard it through the galley scuttle. He deliberately provoked Pete.
I provoked nothing. Your friend was kind enough to give me back my own ship. I gave that rat an order and he talked back.
You called him a dope addict.
So what? If you don't push tea, I'm a fairy at the bottom of somebody's garden.
Watch your staring, Casey. Now listen to me, Straker. If he is an addict, calling him one is just asking for trouble.
Yeah?
Well, you ought to know, shouldn't you?
You've made your point, yes. I should know. Okay. From now on, there'll always be somebody watching you, and that goes for you too, Casey. Got it? You forced me to disarm Pete, and that's as far as it goes. One more break like that, big brother, and you're likely to stop something hard and heavy and very permanent right between those big, dumb, sea-green eyes of yours.
Harry, my dear, your language. I'm afraid prison has coarsened her, Captain. But she puts the matter very clearly. Nobody would regret the necessity of killing you more than I.
I'm sure.
But there are bigger things at stake than the tantrums of a rather stupidly headstrong small boat skipper. Abdul!
Had your hand, sir!
Que samne baito? Yelo que pas deco? What about a row? Samashta?
Yeah, Haji, sir!
There. He'll be watching you, Captain. Lunch ready, Perry?
Yes, and getting spoiled. Come on. I'll send yours up to you two.
Gee. I thought someone had had it then, Gith. That bullet went straight through the wheelhouse bulkhead and past my lug out there on deck. What happened?
Yeah, just an idea that came to me on the spur of the moment. I needled Pete into jumping me in the hope of getting his gun. I got it, too. But the shot brought him up too soon.
But who are these people? What's the idea behind all this, do you know?
I don't know. You can search me for what's behind it. Something dirty, you can bet on that. As to who they are, well, I can only tell you about the lady.
Boy, what a dish. That red hair.
She prefers it called copper.
And them big greeny blue eyes and that figure.
Well, all right, that's enough.
Well, I was only saying.
There's nothing that you can say that hasn't been said already. By a lot of guys.
But who is she?
The name is Peregrine Peters, usually shortened to Perry.
Peregrine? You mean same as the boat?
No. The other way around. I named the boat after her.
What? Oh. Well, I see. Sorry, Geth. Didn't mean to pry into nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter now. That was over 6 years ago. I met her when I first came to the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Montan was. Mm-hmm. She was a companion or something to some old girl. She was only a kid, 19. I just bought the boat and I was stripping the engines down in the yacht basin. She used to come along sometimes and sit on the edge of the jetty and we'd talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, by the end of the summer, I'd asked her to marry me.
Marry you?
And she'd said yes. We were fixing things up for the following year after I'd taken a couple of charters and had a few bucks put by.
Yeah.
I used to write to her. A lot. Every day, mail it when I could. But since I was dodging around a lot, I didn't get many letters back from her, so I was kind of surprised when I saw her in Casablanca. Yeah. Yes, I was very surprised. It was in Whiskey Sour Pepe's.
That dive?
Oh, she wandered in by mistake or something?
Yeah, by mistake, hardly. Not in view of the party she was with. Junkies, tea pushers, good time Charlies, and some brass-faced floozies. And she was looking as brass-faced as any of them, half tight, singing an off-white French song. I went over, and she told me to blow. Well, I did. I blew my top. I damn near killed her.
Yeah?
Next thing, I was in the middle of them, slugging all and sundry with a chair. The riot squad arrived just as it was getting to the knife and gun stage. I woke up in the harbor jail. Got fined 5,000 francs. Got a lot of costs.
Yeah, I know.
I went looking for her, but I was too late. She'd been gathered in the same night as me. Only the charge was a bit more serious.
Well, what was it?
Dope peddling.
Dope peddling?
Yeah, I went to the trial, and I stayed as long as I could without being sick. There wasn't a dirty racket she wasn't in. How that frail had been around. And where? This guy put up as good a case as he could for her.
What guy's that?
The guy that's with her now. Sergei.
Oh, him?
Old sugar daddy. He's some sort of lawyer. Didn't do her much good. She got 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah, that'd make about 6 with remissions. I reckon she must have just got out.
You never saw or heard anything more of her until now?
Nope. Not until that night in Marseille. I did manage to get in and see her the night before they took her off to the French jail.
Yeah?
And Casey...
Yeah?
Believe me, if... You know, if that girl had said anything, even then, if she put up a sort of defense, if she'd said anything at all to me that I could have got hold of, I'd...
Yeah, I know.
Oh, she was as hard as a rock. She wouldn't talk to me at all. Then I lost my temper, and I said that... Well, I lost my temper. Sleep it at that.
Yeah.
Of course, on looking back at it coolly, I can see the whole thing. All she wanted was to get me on the hook. Get a fast boat on the cheap. Looks like she succeeded. They got the boat all right. Yep. But if I could get my hands on a gun...
Shh. Hey, somebody's coming up.
Here's some lunch for you two. Ragu. Out of cans, of course, but prick it up a bit. I learned to make it in jail. Quite good at it.
Oh, thanks, Miss...
Oh, I'll settle for Perry. I love being called Perry. Such a change from Vintrois Peter. Oh, the voices of those female screws. Ever been in the nick, Mr. Casey?
Well, you see, it...
Oh, come on. Don't be coy about it. If you have, we'd be able to compare notes.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know the boob in Toulon?
No, can't say I do.
I don't either. That's about the only calaboose in the mid you can reach by water that I ain't been in.
Look, this happens to be my wheelhouse. And if you two want to wallow in your squalid experiences, get outside. Get out in the deck and stand well to leeward.
Hear that, Casey? Get out in the scuppers and wallow, you lousy old con. Well, I'm going to wallow in my coffee. We only got it on Saint's Day in there. Well... Eat your ragu while it's still hot.
Sorry about that, Skipper.
That's all right. Don't apologize. Only if you want to jolly along with her, don't do it on watch.
Oh, come off it, for Pete's sake, Geth. I'm not jollying along with anybody, and you know it. She just caught me off kilter, that's all. You must admit she's a bit of a character.
Yeah. I had the opportunity of finding out. Look, don't pay any attention to me, Casey. I'm not quite myself at the moment.
Ah, that's all right, Skip. What do we got here? Smells good. Tastes good.
Oh, yeah. She can cook as well. Yeah, she hasn't lost a knack.
Yeah.
She didn't learn this in jail, though. She used to make it right there, in that same galley in the old days.
Well,
all right, hold back a bit, you shark-gutted rip. Put a little on my plate.
Oh. Ah, Captain Straker, lovely evening.
Yeah.
There's magic in the Red Sea sunsets, don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, it's no good, Sergei. I've been trying to get him to talk all afternoon, but he only grunts. Strong, silent type, you know. Nurtured by the wild winds and the cradle of the deep. Actually, the big punk was a farm boy. Came from some awful dump in the middle of the prairie with a name like Osh Koskobosh. Whistle stop, 2 wheat silos, a water tank and a clapboard church. Never saw the sea until he got drafted. Then it was the lakes. He helped the cook in an iron ore scull. Well, until the crew mutinied.
Look here, you little...
Yeah, I know. Get out of my wheelhouse, go and waller. Well, I'm going. But where's the key of the shower?
There's not enough water for showers.
Skunk. Oi, Casey?
Yeah?
Come and scoop some buckets of seawater over me, will you?
Okay, coming.
Down in the stern well, there's a dear. We've got to consider the modesty of the skipper.
Hattie, my dear.
All right, keep your toupee on, Daddy-o. I'm wearing a bikini under this bathrobe. Come on, you gorgeous hunk of thief.
I'm with you, darling.
She's made quite a conquest with Casey.
He's welcome.
Well, now, the charts. Ready, is they?
Yes.
Well, would you be so good as to call one of the others to the wheel? I want you to show me our position, plus an estimate of where we should be this time tomorrow evening.
Well, She'll hold her own course for a few minutes. All right, unroll that one.
Mm-hmm.
Good, now put it on the chart table. Now, you'll have to hold it down on both ends. It'll roll back on you.
Hey, good.
You got it, that's right. Now I'll show you. Now, you see that pencil mark there?
Hmm? Where?
There.
Ah, I see, yes. Yeah,
well, keep looking at it.
That was the third episode of The Sand Leopard, a serial in 8 parts by Barclay Mather. The part of Geth Straker was played by Neil McCallum and Perry by Christine Finn. Casey by Gerald Wells, Sergei by Malcolm Hayes, Pete by David Bauer, and Abdul by Geoffrey Matthews. Production for the BBC was by Robin Midgley.